Well, hello and welcome to another edition of the KKFI Arts Magazine Show. I'm Michael Hoog, your host. Glad to have you with us on this, oh, it's a dreary day out there. It's nasty. Stay in it if you don't have to. But, of course, keep your radio on as you listen to the Arts Magazine Show right here on KKFI, 90.1 FM, your community radio station right here in Kansas City. Glad to have you with us. A couple of interesting yet contrasting things to talk about. During the course of the program today, the Barn Players will join us first. We're going to talk about their new musical, kind of an 80s musical, Rock of Ages. We'll be talking with them about that. Followed at 12:30, the Native Sons and Daughters of Greater Kansas City will be here. They're going to tell us about their annual awards banquet they have coming up, where they honor an outstanding Kansas Cityan. They do it every year. Who will that be? We'll have to wait and listen at 12:30 to find out when they come on. But the Barn is first. Welcome. We have with us two of the performers in the show, Rock of Ages. It must be fun to sing the Def Leppard song and other groups as well in the show. Paul Brennan is with us. He plays the role of Lonnie Barnett. He has performed with the Barn Players, with the Olathe Civic Theater Association, Leawood Stage Company. He is an attorney. I don't know. I don't see a wedding ring on him.
I've got one.
Ready. Okay, he's taking it.
In case my wife is listening.
That's right.
I'm wearing it.
He practices the law, and we'll see if that affects how he does the role in the show. Trevor French is with us as well. He plays the role of Dennis Dupree. He has performed at the Barn Players down in Olathe, the Jewish Community Center's White Theater as well, and probably some other things as well.
Yes.
Welcome both of you to show Rock of Ages. When we made a promo for this, my colleague Phil, he sang Put Some Sugar on Me in the background, Def Leppard song. You heard that promo, you really enjoyed that. But yeah, songs from the 80s, a rock musical from the 80s.
Yeah, that's right. REO Speedwagon, Bon Jovi, Journey. It's
Van Halen.
it's one of those great sort of jukebox musicals.
Sure.
Yeah, we kind of joke that it was, a musical put together specifically for the purpose of sharing 80s music on a Broadway stage.
Well, that might have been the case. We never know.
Right, right.
But why not?
Absolutely.
Lord knows musicals of other eras do that.
So absolutely.
You might as well do it as well. Had either of you sung any of these songs before, other than when you were out?
In the car. In the shower.
I doubt that these are songs that they teach in voice class.
No, absolutely not. Yeah. And I would say even for a lot of us, singing these is so much different than just hearing them or singing along with them, right, on the radio. Because you don't really appreciate the range that these rockers have, and you learn very quickly as you go through the rehearsal process for a show like this to appreciate what these folks actually do. It may seem simple and easy. People, I think, take it for granted. When you're in there doing it, it's really, really tough music to learn and to perform regularly.
That's an interesting comment, I think. Are you saying that the range is more than what you had thought that it was?
Absolutely. Yeah. And they're great songs, and you get so excited to sing them, and then you're like, oh, this is going to challenge me. This is going to push me. And it's been a great experience. I've learned a lot.
Well, you hear people talk about some of these performers. I won't mention any names, but they'll say, well, he really doesn't have all that great of a range.
Right.
And it might seem that way, but you say different.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think also, I've heard, especially coming up, being trained musically as I grew up, you would hear your instructors, or you would hear people even at college who would say, oh yeah, well, they do that and they're able to do that because, they eat the microphone. They're right there on that microphone, eating the microphone. And as you get into this kind of thing, you really start to appreciate that, no, they actually have a great range.
Yeah.
And they're writing songs at such a really high level, but they're great songs, and great fun for the audience.
You can't question the writing, though. The lyrics of some of these songs, while some people will say they don't understand them,
right?
The lyrics of these songs really do make a lot of sense.
Oh, sure.
In the long run, they really do.
Yeah, and I think that the book writers here did a really great job of taking some of these songs and weaving them into a cohesive story, and it all sort of makes sense. And when you hear what might be one of your favorite 80s songs in the context of how this story is lays that out, I think is really fun for an audience.
I'll bet so. So would you both like to share tackling the storyline? There is a storyline associated with this. It's not just concert style, which some theaters do shows in concert style, where you basically get the music woven into it. But this is there's actually a story involved with this.
Yeah, so the story sort of takes place around this one thing, which is Dupree's Bourbon Room. And the story is about the characters that come in and out of this place. And so you've got Trevor, who plays Dennis, who is the owner of the room, of the club. Me, who plays Lonnie Barnett, who is the sound guy for the venue. And you've got our bar back, Scott Salem, who plays Drew. And it's the sort of story of these guys and very, very funny sort of different characters come in and out of this place and sort of what happens there.
Yeah, there's a love story, which is great. It's kind of the central theme. It's also, interestingly, got a lead character, Sherry, who comes from a small town in Kansas, who is trying to make her way as an actress in, you know, Los Angeles. And so the connections between her and the barback and then the music. There's a rocker who's very popular who comes across kind of as this sexed up jerk and played very well, by the way, by Jeff Ross. There's a lot of fun in it. It doesn't take itself too seriously. It kind of pokes fun at the 80s. It pokes fun at the music a little bit, even some of the lyrics a little bit. But it's just a really fun night. If you love rock music, if you love 80s hair bands, it's going to be a really fun night. I've actually been telling people, I said, you have two things you have to do this week. You have to vote tomorrow, and you have to get your tickets to see Rock of Ages at the Barn Players.
Yeah, well, your place, or your club, whatever you refer to it as.
Dupree's Bourbon Room.
Are we thinking Studio 54, maybe? Something like that?
No, I would actually... Studio 54, when I think of it, I think more of the disco kind of music. This is definitely more of that hairband rock kind of club where young artists and budding artists with original rock songs come in to perform and come in to show off what they've got and hopefully get discovered in the LA music scene. So that's kind of how I'm seeing it when I think about Dupree's Bourbon Room, that, you know, they're on the strip where rock really kind of made its start and where it continues to find new, fresh artists. And so it's kind of that, that's a part of the storyline about this strip where rock and roll is at the core of this area and how this area actually made its mark. And so, that's how I would look at it, more than the Studio 54 piece.
Okay, we're speaking with the two of the performers, Paul Brennan and Trevor French. Trevor French, in the Barn Players production of Rock of Ages, opening on Thursday, the 8th of November, coming right up at the Barn Players facility. Performances then continue Friday the 9th, Saturday the 10th, then a matinee on Sunday the 11th. Then they'll do it all over again the next weekend, Thursday the 15th, Friday the 16th, Saturday the 17th, and a matinee on Sunday the 18th, all at the Barn Players Facility, 1000 East 9th Street. It's the Arts Asylum in Northeast Kansas City. The number to call for information, special accommodations, perhaps 913-432-9100, or online at thebarnplayers.org. And I want to say, yes, you have to put the in there. There are other organizations around the world called The Barn, so you have to do that. As we're speaking with Paul and Trevor, they want to hear about the music, I'm sure. So do you want to do the songs you sing? Would you like to talk about the songs in the show in general? Where would you like to go from here?
Yeah, so I have to believe that you're going to hear a lot of stuff that you're familiar with. Wanted Dead or Alive from Bon Jovi. That was always my karaoke go-to. I don't sing it in this show. that's a crowd favorite.
Time on my hands.
Yes, yeah, time on my hands.
We're not going to take it.
Don't Stop Believing.
Yeah, a couple of great Whitesnake songs. And yeah, I was going to say, you said Don't Stop Believing, but you know, Journey kind of epitomizes that kind of 80s rock. And there's a couple of great songs from Journey in the show as well.
Which ones?
So Sherry, Oh Sherry, and Don't Stop Believing. Both of which I think are really great moments in the show.
So which ones do you get to sing?
So I get to sing Time on My Hands, which I really enjoy. The Final Countdown by Whitesnake, those are just two. I'm kind of singing in every song, in some way, shape, or form, which most of us are, because there's obviously all of the great backup vocals that each of the songs have that just make everything complete. It's been great getting all of this together with the band. The band is amazing.
Well, I should ask about them. The musicals always have, they have a music director usually and a band.
Yes. And so
how's that work for you? Is it, have they played this kind of music for a song before?
They probably have.
From the sounds of it, they certainly have. Yeah.
They're really excellent. The band is actually led by Blake Vigneri, and he's doing a great job. He's playing the drummer while he's conducting as well. The vocal direction was Michelle McIntyre. It's just been a great experience with both of them. I think they're both incredibly talented and have a great vision, and they're also great about getting us where they need us to be for what they want their vision to look like. And so it's been pretty spectacular working with them. The band sounds amazing. I'm super excited for people to hear it. I think it's going to be a great experience. Yeah,
what is Paul saying?
Yeah, no. So I get to actually open up the show a little bit. And then I have a very fun song that I'm not going to mention the name of the song. Because I want people to come see it, but it's in Act Two, and it's a funny little moment that gets to happen that I'm going to tease out a little bit.
Okay.
The song is "Can't Fight This Feeling Anymore."
Oh, you don't have to tell.
But I'm not going to say why. I'm not going to go any further an explanation than that.
Okay.
And like Trevor said about the band, like most of these songs I'd only ever touched singing karaoke in bars and stuff, and to get to do some of this stuff with a live band is just so much fun.
Well, if the one song is your karaoke standard, how come you don't get to sing that? I guess the character doesn't.
The character doesn't get to sing it. So I'm in the song, which is fun. and Jeff does an amazing job with it. He's going to be something to see. His character is hysterical.
Well, let's talk about some of these other performers in the show. Who else that the audience might know is involved in the show?
So Scott Salem, who plays Drew, has done shows around here. He's killing it. He's so much fun to watch. His comedic timing is spot on, and he and Taylor are so funny together. There have been points over the last couple days where when I'm not on stage, I'll sneak out into the audience and I'll watch some of Scott's stuff, and he's just rocking out, and it's so good to see. So I'm gonna be sad when I can't do that anymore.
Who else can you think of who's in the show? Well, I guess it's hard to remember when you're on the radio.
Right. Well, we mentioned Jeff Ross, who, you know, Stacey Jacks, he kind of plays that kind of already successful rocker who, you know, is all about getting the ladies. And he's
that
he's,
never happens.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, you ask
not.
Guys all the time. They said, "Oh, why do I do this?" Oh, it's the music. It's music. You ask them off the air. They say, "Oh, it's the women."
Jeff's a great character actor, and he's really, really fun to watch in this. But you know, we have Ashley, who gets to play Justice, Charlie A, and she is just killing it. She kind of runs this strip club where one of the characters kind of lands for a bit, And she's,
Gentlemen's Club.
Yeah, Gentlemen's Club, sorry. Yeah.
They would want you to say Gentlemen's
right?
Club.
She would want me to say that.
Yes, so. Of course. But I would just say this. You know, I've always been a firm believer, and I think it's very true. Any show that you do, especially a musical, is only as good as the ensemble.
Well, sure.
And I just have to say, we've got an amazing ensemble. The folks in this ensemble are excellent. They're great dancers. They're great singers. They're very engaged in every moment of the show. They're just a fun group to watch. Really, really good. I honestly think that this has been a special group of people pulled together for this show. I think they've all been pretty fantastic.
When you do a show like this, I guess there's a temptation to kind of copy style-wise. Do you do that? Do you do it your own way?
I know that I fight that temptation a lot. The actor who originated the role of Lonnie is just a powerhouse, and everything he does on the CD, and if you catch like bootlegs of the video and stuff, like I find myself fighting very hard to do it differently. Unless sometimes 9 times out of 10 the thing that he's doing is spot on, the right thing that you should be doing. But you play around with it, and Eric Magnus, our director, has been great in giving all of us, especially me, sort of the opportunity to play around with different things and try different things, and so that's been really, really helpful. So I like to think that I'm making the part my own, but I won't say 100% that you wouldn't. You might not see me sneak into something that you may have heard do on the CD. Frankly, it's the right choice.
I would agree. I think that's really challenging not to, right? You occasionally want to do that, but you know, you try to stick to the story that's being told and the character in the story that's being told as much as you can, and think, okay, how would this character actually sing this? How would they actually think about putting this out there? And yeah, I think
it's sometimes hard to do things differently. I usually play the opening song, "There's No Business Like Show Business." Very few singers can do that without sort of doing that almost.
Exactly.
It's very difficult, you know, because that's so ingrained in our minds. Like, I won't mention names. A theater did a show that was very closely identified with Jimmy Stewart, and the actor did an imitation of Jimmy Stewart doing the role.
Interesting.
I thought that was a mistake, but I wasn't directing, and I only have one opinion. But I'm sure that's very tempting to do. Well, what about costume wise? Do they flash you guys up on stage? Or?
Yeah, so it's been some. So I, and this goes back to, I do get to wear sort of the famous Lonnie tuxedo T-shirt, which is super fun. But then our costumer Fran has put together like some other looks that I'll be switching in and out of, so I'm not straight up just doing that, but that's been super fun. We did the photo shoot, so some of us got to see most of our costumes and stuff, and we played around. It's a sight to see. It's gonna be great.
Sure. Yeah, you can see some of those pictures at thebarnplayers.org.
Oh, okay, thebarnplayers.org.
Yes, thebarnplayers.org. But yeah, I would actually say, just to follow that up, the costumes I think are going to be great fun for people, just based on the time period. But I think the hair is its own character. I'm super excited for us to play with the hair, because that's going to be coming up here for our final dress on Wednesday, and I'm super excited for that. John Holland helped us do the hair and the makeup, and he's pretty spectacular with that, and it's all really fun, and I think it'll throw people back to that time. So
wasn't that long ago?
It wasn't.
Like just yesterday. Well, for some of us.
For me, it certainly does.
For me too.
I remember all of it.
And it was a special era. You came off a more ballad-oriented 70s, perhaps, things like that. And then right into the 80s with all of this. It was a sharp contrast, but things have to evolve and change. You can't have the same style of music going on from decade to decade.
Right.
There has to be a special mark by the performers doing that. Now, granted, some groups go from decade to decade and kind of adapt by doing that. Some of these guys have been around a long time. The Rolling Stones were around in the 60s, believe it or not.
Right.
And they're still going on because they learned to adapt. Plus, people love the songs they're doing and all of that. will these songs have legs years from now? Will we still be hearing them?
I absolutely think they will.
I think so, yeah.
I absolutely think they will. I mean, you think about Journey songs just in general, and every single time you hear one, it brings back memories of some point in your life where it was important. You know, I think about even Bon Jovi, who is, I think, one of those artists who's been able to adapt one generation to the next. And, you know, you think about his original stuff and you think about how that impacted people at a certain point in their lives. You hear those songs still and you think back to them.
People are disappointed when they go to a concert and they don't hear some of the original stuff. I mean, they want to hear the new stuff too, but they want to hear the old stuff also.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And they'll even vocalize and say that they were disappointed they didn't get to hear this one, this one, this one.
Right.
And that has to make it hard on the artists. I'm sure they love doing the old stuff.
Yeah, it's funny with this show. One of the things that I thought when I first saw it, because I first saw it when it came through with the Broadway production, I actually thought, oh my gosh, they're not giving that song enough time because it's fitting within the story. And I'm always like, oh, I just want to hear more of that song. So yeah, I certainly think these songs have legs that will carry them for generations.
Opens this Thursday. I hope you're all ready. You're through hair and makeup and dress rehearsal and all of that. Opens the 8th at 7:30 p.m. Runs essentially two weekends, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then the next as well, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Matinees are at 2 o'clock on each Sunday at the Barn Players, 1000 East 9th Street. It's in the Arts Asylum building, if you've ever been there. And directions are at their website, thebarnplayers.org. But for those who don't have access to the internet, which is hard to believe in this day and age, but those who don't, how do you get to the Arts Asylum from here? How do you do it?
So I will say that there's been a little bit of construction all around the Arts Asylum, so certainly plan accordingly. Check out for that. There's all kinds of different halfway street closures and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
But there are always sort of parking attendants that will direct you to sort of where you need to be. If you get there early enough, there's street parking in different places.
Which is the best street to go north in? You can't cut across you can't go from downtown right over because there's a freeway in the middle. So you have to go down. What would Truman be the best way
Truman
to go?
Will work. Truman you can get work. There through Truman. I always take 71 because I come in from the south.
Sure.
So
I
take 71 up and I take 11th Street, which cut. Then I cut over to Holmes. Then I cut up to 10th, and then I cut to Harrison, and I take Harrison over. That's for me. That's the easiest way to get there. But obviously, Truman Road would run you into Truce. Truce will run you into it. So
if you need to map quest, it's 1000 East 9th Street. And the zip code, which you also need, 64106 to get there. The Barn Player's number, and you can leave messages there. I don't know how quickly they can get back to you, but it's 913-432-9100. That's the number to call to see about seeing the production of Rock of Ages with Paul Brennan and Trevor French running now through November the 18th at the Barn Players. The Barn Players are in that, is it the first season? Time moves so quickly. Or is it the second season right now?
Oh, God, I'm trying to think. We're still in our first season.
It's the Arts Asylum.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
that was it was an interesting move to move from Mission, Kansas to Northeast Kansas City. Are the audiences different from what you've been told?
It depends on the show. I think that they opened up the season this year with Chicago, which I think almost sold out every performance.
Sure.
We've had great audiences in the other shows with Urinetown and Bridges and Torch Song. So I think there are a lot of folks that are coming following the barn players. There have been. At least I can say there have been a lot of new people too, which have been great. A lot of new people auditioning, a lot of new people coming into the to see shows. Sure. And so I think the barn is really happy and excited about that. And I think it's been a good sort of collaboration with the Arts Asylum and the Barn Players.
It's been all musical so far, but there's a straight play coming up.
Yeah,
and that's the term they use.
The non-musical.
A non-musical.
Yeah,
play.
They've picked out their season. I think the play is Curious Incident of Dog in the Night, but then they've got their season coming up will be Full Monty, Grand Hotel, After that is Mamma Mia, and they close out with, I'm missing something, and then they're closing out with Victor Victoria.
Well, that's a good season right there.
Yeah,
it's a
that's
great
a really great season. Where are you going from here? You have anything
I don't know yet
planned?
Yeah, I don't know yet. I've got a couple things. I got callbacks for some things, and so we'll see what happens.
Well, good. What about Trevor? Do you have?
You know, I am actually waiting for the auditions for Mamma Mia.
Ah.
That's the one I have my heart set on for next year. Yeah, I've grew up a huge ABBA fan, so
it's been a big year for that. There was a movie. There was various performances. They had a nice long run at the new theater at the time the movie came.
Yes.
So
yes.
That's got.
And they
a lot
sold
of
out. I think every single performance.
Well, I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah, it's very popular.
I know people, I can't say names. I know people who have seen 7, 8, maybe even 10 different versions of Mamma Mia on stage, as well as the movie versions and all of that. But this is Rock of Ages.
Yes.
It's opening on Thursday night and will run through Sunday the 11th, basically a Thursday, Friday, Saturday evening, Sunday afternoon matinee schedule for the next 2 weekends at the Barn Players of Northeast Kansas City, 1000 East 9th Street. The number to call for more information, 913-432-9100, or online at thebarnplayers.org. I want to thank my guests for coming, telling us all about it, the hair, the makeup, the songs.
Well, thank you for having
us. Thank you very much for having
us. You're welcome. Paul Brennan, who plays the role of Lonnie Barnett, and Trevor French, who plays the role of Dennis Dupree. I guess there's a special wine night on the opening of Thursday.
Vito would definitely want us to make sure we mention the wine night on Thursday.
Yeah, I'll get an email. I don't work that in. Thanks so much, both of you.
Thank you.
We're going to take a short break. Then when we return, the Native Sons and Daughters of Greater Kansas City are going to present their Kansas Cityan of the Year Award. Who will it be? We'll find out after the break when we return. You're listening to the Arts Magazine radio program right here on KKFI. 90.1 FM. So, yes, thank you so much. Thank you for everyone who supported this program as well as the radio station in general. Very successful fund drive, and we thank all of you so much for that. I even had a donation, a listener from Hawaii. I'm glad he's so interested in the Kansas City theater scene out there. But I admit I'm a little surprised. But thank you so much for doing that. Welcome back to the Arts Magazine Show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station right here in Kansas City. I'm Michael Hoag, your host. The Native Sons and Daughters of Greater Kansas City was founded in 1932 and are interested in preserving history in various ways. They are having their 46th annual awards banquet and gala on Tuesday, November 13th at the K Barnes Grand Ballroom of the Kansas City Downtown Convention Center. And with us to tell us all about it, two of the big wheels involved with the organization. Sometimes those wheels move with a squeak, but they move, don't they?
Yeah, we're glad we were able.
Yeah, I say that again. They didn't quite catch it.
Thank you for having us.
We're happy to roll in for
The opportunity.
I'm glad to have you both here. Steve Knoll is the organization president. He is the former CEO of the Jackson County Historical Society. He is a former Prairie Village councilman. He is a book author. He is a well-known collector and has been for years, and I've known him since middle school. And he's always been interested in collecting and history and things like that. And he has all kinds of knowledge. Our perfect organization for you to be a member of.
I'm proud to be honored to be president of it this year.
Yes. And Richard Retram is with us as well. He is the second vice president. That means that Steve has to be knocked off, and the first vice president has to be knocked off. Then you get to take the seat of
power. Then I'm up.
That's right.
We call it orderly succession.
That's right. It's pretty orderly. This banquet is coming up. You honor a special recognition for your outstanding Kansas Cityan of the Year. And if they don't know from as soon as I mentioned we were going to talk about it, they probably went right on the internet. But you announced your Kansas Cityan of the Year, and that person would be
Cliff Ealing.
Very prestigious man. He's the co-founder and vice chairman and on the board of directors of the Cerner Corporation. He's also a co-owner of Sporting Kansas City, our successful soccer team, and he's probably been on a lot of organizations, boards, things like that over the years. A true native Kansas Cityan, or honoree. Of course, not all of your honorees have been a native of this area, having been born here.
No, many have, but then that's really not a criteria. It's really what the person's done in their lifetime and in their professional career or their civic career to make Kansas City a better place.
Yeah, and the organization is mostly interested in preserving history in various ways. What do you do, Richard?
Well, one of the major features that we accomplish is to establish historic markers throughout the city to mark events that have occurred that tell our story.
Give an example of some of the markers that are there that people can easily find and see to give them an idea of what you do.
One that I can recall immediately is out at the Truman Sports Complex, where we honored the Sports Commission and
the Jackson County Sports Authority
for their
role in establishing the complex and mm-hmm. the role it has in keeping professional baseball, professional football at home and happy in Kansas City.
Yeah, well, it is said, and I agree, we probably wouldn't have a baseball team if it weren't for Ewing Kaufman.
Absolutely.
Wouldn't have one at all, nor would we have the Kaufman Foundation and all the charitable work that mm-hmm. they do, and training the Kaufman School of Business, training future leaders and doing things like that. So those honors are well deserved for those people.
You know, one of the other markers I find, you know, I have a real passion for Kansas City's heritage of hospitality and restaurants and hotels. Well, several years ago, downtown in Oppenheimer Park, we honored the National Restaurant Association, which really had its beginnings in Kansas City, and the site where it is, while it's a very small vest park now, was the site of the original Myron Green Cafeteria.
Oh, Myron Green Cafeteria
on Walnut Street, and the restaurant industry in Kansas City has always been very competitive, and but out of their local organization actually grew what is now the National Restaurant Association. So on these markers, we list the history to help people. You can get history in small, very, very manageable, pleasant and fun doses. Yeah, don't have to get a book out. Just check out go to the marker, and gives you a feel for what happened, and it helps put it in context of the neighborhood.
Yeah, there's probably over 100 markers in the metro area.
Most of them honoring people or places events. Where events took place.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, you know, Michael. You know what makes a building famous? Well, it was either the architect or the person who caused it to be built, or what happened in that building, or a mix of those, all of those. So it's we look at history from a bunch of different angles.
Yeah, well, the combination of the people, why it was built there, the church that's down on Main as you go to the plaza. That was a Frank Lloyd Wright designed church.
Yes.
Famous for, I don't know if they still do it, I haven't paid attention the last couple of summers, unfortunately, but the light, it appears to be coming from your direction, no matter which direction you were at.
And that was really a concept, the light spire. It's four beams of light aimed up out of this room on the roof of the church. And interestingly, Frank Lloyd Wright thought of the concept, but the lighting, the technology to make it happen didn't exist at the time. It was decades later that they actually were able to get the right equipment and create that that illusion of the steeple going up into the sky.
Wright lived in Kansas City for a short time. I'm not sure the story behind that, but he did.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that.
Yeah, he did.
At this year's gala event, we're going to be honoring with markers the Boy Scouts of America and the American Royal. Cliff Elig is very involved with scouting and supports it, and his partner, who passed away,
Neil Patterson,
was very involved with the American Royal, and asked Cliff to continue to support that, and we then are going to honor both of those categories, the Boy Scouts, with markers. They'll be unveiled at the gala on stage. Everyone can see what they look like, and then they'll be placed in a permanent position later. But those are the two markers this year.
Well, the former mayor, Roe Bartle, was very involved with the Scouts
absolutely.
As well.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Speaking with Richard Rectum and Steve Knoll, both from the Native Sons and Daughters of Greater Kansas City, talking about this annual banquet where they were honored the 2018 Outstanding Kansas Citizen of the Year. Cliff Elig doing that. Banquet's going to take place on Tuesday, November 13th. And what's all going to be involved in that? There's probably a big auction, I assume.
Well, we start with a reception. Dick, you want to kind of give them the rundown?
6 o'clock reception with drinks, and the silent auction will be open for bidding. Probably over 100 items to choose from and bid on. Around 7 o'clock, dinner will be served, and by 8 o'clock, the program will actually start where Cliff will be interviewed by the audience questions, and I don't know that we want to give him a chance to actually give a speech because we don't have that much time.
Oh.
Cliff can entertain you without any questions. He's a brilliant man with lots of interests in Kansas City, and he will tell you everything he wants to do in this town. I'm very impressed with an interview we had with him months ago where he explained that not only Cerner, but he has about 15 other businesses that he has started here in Kansas City and oversees those, and he's quite an entrepreneur.
Yes.
Yes.
Certainly has been. You can get information about this at 913-207-3310 or on their website, nsdkc.org. Again, it's on Tuesday, November the 13th at the K Barnes Grand Ballroom. It's near the Downtown Convention Center. We went over this before the show. Yeah, we were both confused.
Yeah, Michael, it's actually on the south side of the auditorium and connects to the Bartle Hall Exhibition Hall, but it's a massive, it's fairly new, but a beautiful ballroom that overlooks the view to the south, and it's only a block away from the Kauffman Performing Arts Center, but the vista that you see out the glass walls on the south side is just magnificent.
Yeah.
You're looking at the back side of the Kauffman Center for the Performing Arts, and tickets are available.
Yeah. 913-207-3310. You can make inquiries there or on their website at nsdkc.org. What am I missing here, Steve? Is there anything that the folks need to know about that I haven't mentioned?
No, well, it's a great heritage. I mean, we honor individuals, but we also honor organizations that they've had a relationship, often a very lengthy and very dynamic leadership role with. And it's so interesting that Cerner is this dynamic growth engine in Kansas City, both economically, but also kind of on the cutting edge of where health care records are going in today's world. And to think it all started here, that not that long ago, just a few decades ago, and now it's, and they do business all over the world.
Yeah, they certainly do. Dick, of course, is the second vice president, as I said. He's also been a teacher, a healthcare administrator, owned two UPS stores as well. So no, that's a variety of things.
It is an interesting background. I want to comment another item that we have not talked about is our monument that was built last year and dedicated in Ilas Davis Park, which gives a history of Kansas City and those people who created the city. And it's open to the public, of course, and we hold educational events down there.
You have some of your lectures there occasionally,
yes,
too. I attended one of them.
Yeah. Oh, good. I have, too. Many.
I'll bet you have. Yeah. Where do you see the organization going in the future? You want to continue, of course, with your markers, but how else would you like to what else would you like to see it going for? Any ideas?
Membership would be good.
Yeah. Well,
we have probably close to 300 members, a little under 300.
One of the interesting things, we have a number of committees who work with other current history-focused organizations, a number of the historic sites. In the fairly distant past, the Native Sons of Kansas City really were the drivers in the first reconstruction of Fort Osage.
Oh, really?
Out in eastern Jackson County. And, in fact, that was so long ago, it's been really had to be rebuilt twice.
We helped fund some of that.
Yeah, it is. Right. Yeah, it was the Native Sons really were the impetus for doing that. We work with a lot of different history organizations promoting their sites or their eras or whatever their programming is, and we look for opportunities to increase that in the future. You know, in Kansas City, we have dozens and dozens of history-based organizations, often really focused around a particular site or an event or, in some cases, a person from the past. But all of them, we all are pursuing the same broader goal, and where we can help some of these other organizations, we do our best to do that. And sometimes it's a matter of helping put a marker on their site that helps, you know, helps the public have an easy, gentle way to learn some history. And you don't have to get a book out, and you can just find the site on the map and go and read the markers and get that information. And then maybe if you want to learn more about it, then go inside or contact that organization, and they'll be able to probably fulfill any need you have for more local history.
Oh, sure. And you have a fine speakers bureau. I was reading about just the other day. You can have a speaker come on a variety of topics.
Yeah, we try to cover a lot of different eras and different topics. We have, and these are people who have a passion. Often they're as close to being an expert on that particular topic. So, and they want to share that too. So we help facilitate that.
Some of those groups that you just mentioned, Steve, belong to Native Sons and report to us on a monthly basis on their activities. So we stay informed well on things we normally wouldn't know about.
One of the big topics is Nellie Don. People have a desire to learn about Nellie Don and what went on during those times.
Sure. And that leads then to the garment district, the role that the garment manufacturing industry played in Kansas City, especially from the 20s until the 1950s. So a lot of aspects of history sort of fade away until it just strikes somebody's interest and they become really engaged with it, and that helps us preserve that heritage. We've got some great archives around Kansas City that is a repository for a lot of, all the ephemera, the maps, the pictures, the books, the publications, sometimes it's artwork. But that has to live on through more people becoming interested in it and taking that knowledge into the future.
Oh, sure. Now, as I said earlier, Steve is a big collector, and that has turned into, is it three books now?
Yeah, we've. I just. We have a new one. It's called Kansas City Houses, 1885 to 1938, and it's an architecture, a residential architecture book. It's the author has a great passion for this. Michael Catherine's just grew up in Kansas City, has lived on the East Coast, and returned 4 years ago. And so it features 40 of Kansas City's iconic mansions. Some of them no longer in existence. Most are. But we explore not only the architectural style, but the person that built it. How did that person amass the resources to build it, the architect. We combine all those aspects of the history into a chapter.
Yeah, well, the Long family was in the lumber business, as I understand it.
Oh, there were a bunch of families in the lumber business.
The photography in this book is amazing. It's a wonderful Christmas gift.
Yeah, the Kansas City Museum up in
Corinthian Hall
in northeast Kansas City was the Long family home in town. Mm-hmm. I guess the weekend home is down by Longview Lake.
Right, that was Longview Farms was his country estate. He never actually lived there. His daughter Lula Long Combs made that her home for most of her adult life. But that's a great example of a company that has long ago sort of faded away and was acquired and merged into an international lumber organization. But the passion with which he approached the business and the role he played in the community, he was the driving force in the fundraising for Liberty Memorial. Independence Boulevard Christian Church still stands today. That was he was the primary benefactor. And so many of these people, their lives permeated to so many different parts of the community. And he'd have been a great, outstanding Kansas City.
Yes, he would.
But the Nelson Atkins Art Gallery was once the home of William Rockhill Nelson.
William Rockhill Nelson.
That was a big home.
It was. And in fact, that's an example in the book. The William Rockhill Nelson home, Oak Hall, is in the book. But, you know, his will stipulated that after his wife and his daughter passed away, that the home was to be demolished, and that would be the site of what became the Nelson Gallery of Art. Mm-hmm. So there's a legacy that lives on, and we don't often associate some of the different aspects of this, but Kansas City's a pretty cool town and has a really fantastic history.
Where can your books be obtained?
The book's available at Nell Hills, Rainy Day Books, in Brookside, a place called Stuff. In Independence, at Scandinavia Place. We've just got a few copies in the Nelson Gallery gift shop, Webster House. And I'm going to get in trouble because I'm not remembering all of them.
Is there a website where they can go to find that out?
KansasCityHouses.org.
Great.
And we've got a list. And whenever we add a new retailer, it just went out to the public first week of October. So as we add retailers that are gracious enough to carry it, we're adding them to the website.
Sure. Well, the banquet, the annual banquet, to the 46th annual banquet, to honor this special recognition for the Outstanding Kansas Cityan of the Year, will be happening on Tuesday, November the 13th. And the number to call for more information about that, 913-207-3310, or online at nsdkc.org for more information on the activities about the Native Sons and Daughters of Kansas City. Any new markers going up shortly? People can see the unveiling of
just the two Richard. I mentioned before at the event, for the Boy Scouts of America and the American Royal.
Is that going to be near where the Robartle statue is on 39th?
I think they're still finalizing the location of the Boy Scout one. You know, there's a great, unique monument in Kansas City at 39th and Gillum that honors the Eagle Scout heritage of Kansas City's Boy Scouts. We think it would be a great fit there, but I'm not sure that anything's been finalized. And the American Royal, you know, has been a bit of a state of transition. So sure. I'm not sure where the markers will end up because they often end up on public land. It's not as always as easy to get all those details organized as quickly as we'd like.
How often do I'm running out of time. How often do they have a meeting of the Native Sons and Daughters that people can attend and hear some of these lectures?
Monthly.
Since the monument was down in Isles Davis Park was unveiled, we've had every month we had what was called History at the Monument, and inviting a different speaker to come talk about a particular aspect of Kansas City.
Sometimes two.
Sure. Heritage, yes.
And there's food involved.
And well, it's a good draw.
Yes. Yeah.
We are actually working on trying to make that a year-round program. Obviously, outdoors is great. Say April through September,
sure.
But we'll post those details on our website as we do finalize the 2019 programs.
Information on that and the banquet, nsdkc.org, or a number you can call 913-207-3310. I want to thank both of my guests for coming. One I've known a very long time, Richard I haven't known quite as well, Steve Knoll, the organization president, former CEO of the Jackson County Historical Society, currently a book author as well. You heard him talk about the book. And Richard Rectum, second vice president, a former teacher, healthcare administrator, and owned two UPS stores. Was business good?
Wonderful.
Thanks so much, both
Thank
of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The Jazz Insider's next. He'll be having some wonderful jazz to play for you this afternoon. Jazz from 1 to 3, the blues from 3 to 6, right here on your community radio station, 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City's community radio. So until next we meet, ladies and gentlemen, at that cross in the road, I'm Michael Hogue. We'll see you next time.